This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. This week on the show, first-time guest, Russell Lester from Tropic. Russell, welcome to Apple at Work.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
We'll get into Tropic, but what piqued me about you guys in terms of interest is, you know, I've said for years that one of the reasons that Apple's been able to grow so quickly in the enterprise in the last decade is really with the growth of SaaS, where, you know, prior to everything moving to subscription web-based, you know, it was the workplace was local apps managed through the Active Directory infrastructure. That was how basically, you know, everybody worked. And that's changed in the last, you know, certainly the last 10 years, and it's certainly accelerated in the last five. And I think that's led to a lot of, you know, a term that's now becoming more popular, like this SaaS sprawl, where you've just got companies, they slowly just gather account after account after account and spending money after money after money, because it's so easy in some ways to spin up something on a credit card, add a team of three people to something, and all of a sudden you've got $100 a month subscription in perpetuity. So setting that stage, can you give us just some background on who you are and then what led you to founding Tropic?
Yeah, happy to. And of course, as CFO of Tropic, I was not a founder, but I am happy to be on the journey. So as we all know, the distributed workforce that we saw really manifest and accelerate during the COVID era, as teams went fully remote and they were trying to figure out, how do we operate our business in a distributed fashion with team members across, could be, the world? Well, you need interconnected tools to do that. So we saw the impetus of lots of first of purchases, new tools. And right in that time frame, we also saw an acceleration of capital and valuation. So what we had was a perfect storm of distributed workforce, acceleration of software tools becoming into the mainstream, SaaS, if you will, lots of liquidity being deployed and invested in these high growth, high technology businesses, new leaders, first-time leaders. And that combination of factors led to companies buying lots of different things, often overlapping things. Well, the founders of Tropic saw that problem and saw how many companies were solving it the hard way, or the wrong way, which is, one, not addressing it at all. Two, could be trying to just handle it one-off, not scalable, you know, focusing only on maybe the largest purchases. And really, this issue that many companies, as they mature and grow up, they often lack a procurement function altogether. You know, procurement is often a function that is built out later on in the maturation of a company. And so those combination of factors led Dave and Justin to found Tropic as a new way, a different way to essentially outsource your procurement processes, the negotiation side of your procurement processes, to help make sure that you were growing optimally and spending wisely.
No, everything you said there feels like dead on in terms of like how this happens in terms of the overlapping tools, and that everybody like does this with good intentions. It's like, hey, because I always joke like the next tool is the one that solves all your problem. And like I look at my inbox and I'm inundated with like reach outs like, hey, we have the tool to solve this new problem. And then you could make the argument of like, you know, when you're picking software tools, like, you know, getting the best thing for every use case versus like trying to maximize the tools you have. And so I think that's obviously that kind of how you end up here. And again, it's you know, like I'm just a simple example, but like a $99 a month subscription is a lot easier to stomach on the procurement side than like, hey, we're buying a $10,000 one-time software tool. Like the good example I give people is, you know, there's, you know, with like the Adobe suite, like it used to be when they came out with a new one, every 2 years, you had to figure out like, do we need this? Okay, it's $1,500 per person. You know, okay, that's $10,000. Are there things in here we're going to use? If not, well, then Creative Cloud comes along. It's like, it's so much easier. You just, you know, it's easier to have this basically this like, you know, operating expense than every other year come up with a big capital purchase for the software. But what happens is it's like, you know, again, let's say you have 3% more licenses as you need. Well, a pretty big company, that can end up being a lot of money. Like how do you all, I mean, because there's a human element here where like it, you want to like get, let teams kind of like own their future, find the tools that work best for them. But there's also like this like back end, like how do we use AI and some automation to track this and manage this amazing, you know, like how do you guys like meld that of like the human element versus using software to analyze where you're wasting money and where you can optimize?
Yeah, great question. And it kind of brings to mind another factor that led us where we are today, just in the market and spend management in general. The monetization models of many of these software providers, these tech providers, were per seat, per user. You know, we're now migrating into a world where it's hybrid, it's outcome-based, there's a platform fee plus some combination of consumption, transactional, or outcomes. But back then, man, it was almost pure per seat based. So to your point, very simple to light up a single license here, single license there. Oh, I'll just put this on my corporate Amex. Next thing you know, you've got what we call shadow IT spending happening, and the tech sprawl begins, often unbeknownst to the risk officer, the IT area. These are agreements that employees are signing up for that may hold the company liable for something that no one's even putting eyes on. And so that kind of compounds and makes the problem even worse. And we still very much have that problem today. You know, spend management is maturing, to your point. We are past the days where Tropic is just a pure outsource-based negotiation service model. We now have a complete end-to-end robust platform, and we're now overlaying AI capabilities into that platform to accelerate things. And so it's really mind-boggling how quickly all of this is transformed. And many house of finance procurement leaders are asking themselves, what do I do with all these factors? How do I handle the fact that I want to reduce friction? I want employees to feel empowered to make decisions, to manage their budgets, but I also want to manage company risk. And so how do you balance those forces while making sure your leaders are buying the right things at the right time, that the tools are being used? And so you need a platform, you need capabilities like Tropic so that you can keep an eye on these things and monitor the request as they come in, rationalize the investments, determine if this is the best fit. Are we getting a good price? All of these things are, of course, part of spend management, but many companies are only doing a fraction of or part of them. And it's even harder if they don't have a dedicated person that owns that, you know, that wakes up each day and says, oh, are we spending money wisely? Obviously, the CFO thinks about that. FP&A thinks about that procurement, but often there lacks a person, even at companies, you know, up to 1,000 employees, they often don't have a single person that is named as the procurement person. And even if there is a procurement person or two, they find themselves overwhelmed by the sheer volume of things, you know, coming at them at any given time.
No, that's true. And it, because then it's like, you don't want to be seen as the, if you're the procurement person, you don't want to be seen as the gatekeeper, but there's a lot of risk there. And you bring up a good point. It's not even just like financial risk and like, you know, wasting money. There's security risk too. So like if these tools are connected to your SSO, but the, you know, who did the due diligence? Is there a due diligence process in there? But obviously like, you know, you have to integrate with a company's like existing ecosystem. And I think for, you know, you get above a certain threshold of employees, like you can't just like brute force some of these solutions. So you'll have, you know, a tool like Ironclad. Obviously, Slack is kind of a work OS for a lot of teams. How, you know, what does the integration with those kind of core tools look like for Tropic?
That's a great question. What I call this is in context. And I have a conversation about AI in context, but also just surfacing the spend management capabilities in context. Obviously, we can act as a contract system of record, but often companies have existing tools that perform that function, and we do integrate with them. Often they don't have workflow capabilities, and they need us to be that workflow engine, or they need us to partner with that workflow engine. And so the good news is, in the state of the current platform, we can meet companies where they are, depending upon where they're at in the growth journey, whether they lack any system of record and lack any workflow capabilities, or they have that solved and they actually want to leverage our data. And so now that we've been in business for a number of years and we grew up through the hard way of doing this, the manual way of doing this, we literally have thousands of at-bats negotiating these agreements, reviewing the contracts, understanding the pricing trends. And so what that gives us is this really rich, robust, competitive data set that we can help empower the users to understand at scale in a way that they couldn't on their own. And so some customers choose to even only use the data side of things in terms of supplier intelligence and price benchmarking. And so whether someone needs us to manage the process completely end to end, or literally just needs to leverage that data and intelligence, we can meet them at the point of their need. But unfortunately, what I'm finding is far too many companies are choosing to do like none of the above or only a fraction of it. They come to us maybe for one or two contracts that are on their mind, and they really don't have the aperture broadened enough around what spend management ultimately entails for their company.
No, that makes a lot of good points there. I mean, I'm really thinking about the security risks here too of these tools. That's like, it's completely on my mind at this point, because you don't know. I mean, you like coming out of RSA last week, as we were recording, like the kind of the trend, and it feels, some people are eye rolling at it, and I totally get it. The agentic AI, it seemed every year for the past 5 years, it was all about zero trust. And like the theme this year was like agentic AI. And there is some like eye roll to that of like, okay, we went from like creating content with Gen AI tools to now like the bots are self-aware. I mean, that's a joke a bit, but that seemed to be the trend. And there's just, so if you think about when you have agentic AI, like, because it's a little bit of hype today, sure. But like over the next 36 months, you'll see more and more. That'll be slowly but surely, I'm sure. Gradually but suddenly. There's just a lot of concerns. You know, if you have this, this wall, just thinking through your like SSO, you log in, you have these wall of apps and nobody's sure what they're doing. Like who is aware of what these apps are doing? How data is being accessed? Is there customer data in there? And the thing is even if you have a tool that is set up on the front end properly, and like you're fine with it on the front end, every one of those tools evolves over time. So you really need a process, not only on the financial side, but on the technology side. Like, okay, we analyzed this tool a year ago. It's probably time to look at this again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, risk is a key. Obviously, many CFOs, they are essentially the chief risk officer of the business. So yes, of course they want to control spend, but the risk side of things is just as pervasive now. And I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal about how Accenture is creating AI agents that are collaborating together. So now you even have, instead of single purpose siloed agentic services, you have agents that are actually interacting one to another. And I call it the AI continuum, where in the continuum, there's the ingestion side of things, and many people deploy AI to do that. There's the assimilation or analysis of the information. There is the synthesis or the summary of the information that AI may perform. Then we get into the proactive or predictive side of AI. Now, people are comfortable using that in forecast models, FP&A models, cash flow models. But then we get to the nudge side of things where AI is beginning to actually poke and prod and recommend and say, do you want me to write this? Do you want me to reach out? Do you want me to deploy this or actually take this action? And then do the action side of AI. And I think where CFOs and risk officers probably get the most uncomfortable is thinking about agentic services, you know, AI agents communicating one to another and actually intervening, nudging, or doing things unmonitored. And of course, that's not how Tropic works. Obviously, the Tropic use of AI would be in context, in the workflow of your spend management process, where you have the opportunity to deploy those agents accordingly and accept, you know, the recommendations, accept the next step or the next path. But I think on the mind of many people is, you know, have we reached the point of sentience of AI? Of course not, at least I don't think so. But at what point does it become risky enough that we need to put more guardrails around how people are consuming these agentic services?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Like, where, I mean, you think about like price renewals, and that's something I know you all help teams with, and I want to learn more about that as we come to the end of the show here. Is, you know, if it would be awesome if you could have an AI tool, agentic AI, like tell you, hey, like we know the data, you're paying way too much for this. That's good information to know. What you don't want is the AI tool to reach out to the vendor to start negotiating price without you doing your own research. I think that's a perfect example. I mean, obviously, like every, you know, NDR is a big financial term. Every company loves to grow their NDR with their customers. But so your tools just generally are going to get more expensive, you know, every contract. How do you all help companies manage that, like price creep?
I love that you said tools will get more expensive every contract. I agree 1,000%. And yet I see many companies, they may even use outsourced procurement, you know, or the procurement orchestration side of things. They may use it for a season and they actually fall into the pitfall of thinking, we've optimized our spend. We're good now. We're going to take this back in-house. We're going to manage this. We got our arms around it. And they may or may not even have a team assigned to it. The problem with that fallacy is, to your point, all of these providers are in business to make money, and they are all innovating around their monetization models, and they all have created consumption models where as your seat count grows or your different feature set changes or even just the way they've deployed the lineup differently, suddenly what you thought was a good price, a fair price within budget is quickly not so. And it can happen right from underneath your eyes, underneath your nose, unbeknownst to you if you're not keeping track of it. And so what we have is that companies that fall prey to that risk, they have auto renewals happen that they didn't keep track of. They inevitably pay more for things that they didn't realize. You know, maybe they're over-licensed or maybe they're in a level or addition of a solution that's more than what they need, or maybe they, you know, these tools are now acquiring new capabilities and functions too. So you may have bought a tool for a single purpose and it now can serve multiple purposes. And suddenly you look and you have three tools that can serve the same purpose. And so if you're not regularly monitoring it, if you're not viewing spend management as a strategic function in the business, inevitably you'll find yourself the same or worse off as you were before you even deployed a spend management solution. So it requires constant and consistent maintenance. And that's what we try to educate our customers on as to why they need a solution like Tropic throughout their growth journey, not just for a season.
No, it makes, sadly, contracts, you know, and you hope you're like your use of a tool goes up. So like you should be leveraging it more. And it's like it's okay if you're spending more, particularly like if it's a product that like saves you time and money, like, you know, you should see like a massive ROI on every tool you deploy. But just like quantifying that, proving it, and then communicating that is like half the battle. Because if you, you know, again, if you've got like, you know, say tool overlap, you kind of have to ask the question, does having these dedicated tools, do we see an ROI on that? Even if we like say the overlap, yeah, we like tool B better on that part, but tool A can get us 80% there and it's going to save so much money. We can't justify having the separate tool from just the cost perspective or the risk. And that's part of the challenge, is trying to determine that. And that's, you know, that's why procurement teams are there, and to help uncover that.
And sometimes just having the conversation and exploration is half the battle. I mean, I'm all for empowering budget owners to spend wisely and trusting that they will do so. That ability differs based upon company growth and maturity, right? In the earlier stages of a company's growth, you have sometimes first of budget owners or earlier in career budget owners, and they're wearing lots of hats and they're trying to keep an eye on things. And then at even larger companies, you've got people whose minds are stretched and they don't wake up exclusively thinking about how to manage my budget. But if you're not asking the question at all, or if you're not digging in and saying, hey, by the way, I saw the request for tool ABC. Let's say it's some demand generation opportunity. I know we already have a tool that does this. Just help me understand better why we picked this one, what outcomes we hope it will deliver, and how well the previous investment did. Well, if you don't have a system that's keeping track of the collaboration side of requesting investment, or you don't have the paper trail to look back and see what was the rationalization on previous investments, you're losing that opportunity for organizational awareness and organizational learning. So I like to say that Tropic helps position finance and procurement teams in a more strategic advisory seat where they can be equipped to ask that question and open that door. It's not just about saying yes or no, or being a bottleneck, or blocking something someone wants to do. It's about engaging in the process of rationalization as to why this investment makes sense in the first place.
Yeah, and even if the answer is still yes, at least then you know, and it's like a CYA thing. It's like you can justify, it's like, yeah, this is why we did that, and here's the outcome. And we've had that discussion of, is this needed or not? Again, it's not about like being the gatekeeper. It's about, you know, kind of keeping everybody accountable and just simply asking the question. If you're not okay with asking the question, then, you know, it's kind of like, what are we here for? But anyways, Russell, this has been great. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. I think you can see a big overlap between organizations today that are leveraging Apple in the enterprise and their growth of SaaS. I imagine, you know, it's sadly, like, there are almost no local desktop applications you're deploying. Everything is powered by subscription. And that's good and bad. And that's a topic for another day. But like, it's the reality of tools today. We want our tools to continue to get better. And that's part of that is the subscription makes that easy. So, Russell, thanks for joining us today. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll chat with you next week.